Welcome to the jungle. We start hour number two. What's cracking? I am Jim Rohmer, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Nice to have you. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. Very quickly, my thanks to 49ers defensive end Eric Armstead. We had him on last segment. Coming up next hour, we talk NHL Stanley Cup Final. Tampa Bay Lightning bounce back. Huge bounce back last night. Eddie Olczyk joins me then. Right now, we talk some Jets football. If you're on hold, stay there. We're joined by a tight end for the Jets. Coming off a year where he had a career-high 61 receptions, 593 yards, 3 touchdowns. He signed with the Jets in March. He was the 157th pick overall in 2018 out of Central Michigan. He hosted a free youth camp and the 586 showcase over the weekend. Tyler Conklin is my guest. Tyler, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, thanks for having me. I'm doing good. My voice is a little raspy from running around chasing kids all weekend, but you're all right.
Oh, dude, I feel you. Me too. My voice is a little raspy because I've been imitating Steph Curry saying, "Ah!" Tyler, you trust me, dude. You're much younger and in much better shape. An old guy like me should not be running around like that. Listen, so let me ask you. I've had a number of your teammates on the show this offseason, guys who come from other teams to join the Jets. So I'm curious, in your case, what was it about the opportunity with the Jets that appealed to you the most?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I was familiar with the offensive system and Coach LaFleur being from the Niners and the way they use, George and Juice. And I thought it was a really good fit for me in an offense that I'm comfortable playing with and running the outside zone and, an offense that features tight ends.
Tyler Conklin.
On top of that, I just thought, a young team that's talented and, an environment I wanted to, be a part of.
I like that. Sorry to jump on you like that. I like that. I was going to ask you about, the environment that you mentioned. Does it feel to you, Tyler, like a rebuilding project? Or when you see the injection of talent both in free agency and the draft, does it feel like you guys can turn this thing around pretty quickly and make some noise this season?
Yeah, it definitely feels like we can turn things around quickly and make some noise. I think it is an awesome job, obviously, in free agency and in the draft. And after going through OTAs, as a team, there's a lot of talent out there. We have fun playing together. It's a good locker room. And, I think we have a lot of promise.
Tyler Conklin's my guest. You said part of the reason also for signing with the Jets was you liked Zach Wilson coming out of BYU. What did you see in him that got your attention?
So, obviously the arm talent, he can make all the throws, the arm angles. But I thought his athleticism and mobility was huge, especially for a tight end. Just the amount of hidden yardage, him getting out of the pocket and, stick turns into a, 40-yard gain down the field and just the opportunity for him to extend plays and on top of that make all the different throws that you got to make on the football field. And just to be around a young, hungry, quarterback that wants to make a name for himself, I thought it was a good fit.
Jets tight end Tyler Conklin, my guest. So last season, as I mentioned, was enormous for you in the fact that you started 15 games. You made the most of the opportunity. You had the biggest season of your career. How much pride was there in the fact that when your number was called, you were able to deliver time and time again?
Yeah, it's kind of been how my whole career's kind of went. I mean, I was a walk-on at Central Michigan. I had to wait my turn. I get to the NFL as a fifth-round pick, and I knew how good I could be and how talented I was, but I just had to wait my turn. And we had obviously Kyle Rudolph, a Pro Bowler, and they drafted Irv in the second round. So I just had to, be ready when it came. And I think everything happened for a reason. The opportunity coming when it did, after getting a chance at the end of my third year to play, and going in again to start a whole season, I think everything worked out perfectly.
Tyler, I think there's more to the story for those who don't know than you just walking on at Central Michigan. Those who know your story know this, but for those who don't, you started out on a basketball scholarship at Division II Northwood. What was that experience like, and then what led you to transfer and then walk on to play football at Central Michigan?
Yeah, well, try to make a long story short, but coming out of high school, we weren't very good at football. Going into my senior year, we were 0-27. And we were a good basketball school. I love basketball, and I ended up signing early signing period before I even played my senior year of basketball. I just had a full ride scholarship and kind of jumped on it. And once I got there, I just felt like I sold myself short a little bit. I should have been playing at a higher level. And after my first, I think I played my first 7 games as a true freshman there, and I started calling coaches, and Central Michigan recruited me a little bit out of high school, so I called them up and they said I could come out for spring, but didn't guarantee me a chance on the 105. So I went out there in the spring and I played receiver, and then they ended up actually moving me to DN for a really short amount of time, which was interesting. And then I ended up finally getting to tight end and making it stick. So
yeah, but when you finally got to tight end, what were you on the tight end depth chart?
I think I was the eighth guy out of eight guys. We had two seniors, a junior that had a really good senior year, and then there's a guy in my class, and then two freshmen that got in there a year before me, or two younger guys that got in there a year before me. I think they're freshmen. Right. So now seven or eight.
All right, so you're seven out of seven, eight out of eight, but you believe in yourself, you keep grinding, then you finally get your chance, and then you break your foot. And then you've got to come back from that, too. So, like, I understand this is just the way it is, and this is part of your journey, but how did you maintain that combination of patience and resilience where you had to keep battling back? Like, where does that come from?
Yeah, the foot situation was hard because after my junior year, I feel like I put myself in a good spot. Agents are talking to you, and you're feeling good about where you're at and excited to have a senior year. And the first day of camp, first one-on-one, I have a Jones fracture, and it was hard. I didn't know if I was gonna be able to come back that year. I didn't know if I was gonna be able to redshirt because I already transferred and had to wait a year. And I ended up kind of rushing it back and doing anything I could research wise to, because a lot of people had Jones fractures and rebroke them. And I had a game like grace period where if I came back and rehurted, I could still redshirt. They ended up giving me that news. But if I came back and I was healthy, I could keep playing. But if I played that game and got hurt later, then I was done. And I ended up playing that first game back, had a good game, and finished out the rest of the season healthy. And I don't know kind of what, just I think I've always just firmly believed since I was a little kid that I was going to be a professional athlete. I thought it was basketball at one point. Obviously, that wasn't the case. But I think it was just the belief that it was going to happen, and just kind of willing it into reality.
I was going to say a little manifestation there. You willed that into reality. Like, it happened. You put in the work. You got to the NFL. You're a professional athlete. You get this contract with the Jets. So what's your mindset now? Do you feel like, all right, it happened. It worked. I finally arrived. Or do you take your approach or an approach of, I got to put myself all over again. I have to start all over again. What's your mindset now?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different, I feel like I'm hungrier than ever now. I feel like I had a decent year, and I have so much more to prove. I feel like that was my first year I had a chance to really, play in the NFL in a sense. I was a tight end three for the first 3 years of my career and special teams, and I feel like I have so much to prove still, and I feel like the sky's the limit. I can do, I feel like I can put up numbers and do things that no one expects, and I'm excited to go prove everybody that I can.
All right, so before I let you go, New York obviously is a very different market. It's a very different environment. Jets fans have been through some really lean years, tough years. You know how badly they want to win. What would it mean to you to be a part of building a winner in New York? And what's that market feel like to you so far? I know it's early.
Yeah, just being there during OTA the last 2.5 months, I realized how big the market was, and I also realized just how great of a fan base the Jets fans have. And we want to win just as bad as they want us to win, if not more. And we want to bring, a winning team, a playoff team, a championship team to New York. And I don't think there'd be any better place to do it than the New York. Any better place to do it than in New York.
So I mentioned off the very top, you hosted a free youth camp and the 586 showcase in Michigan over the weekend. I'm curious, what was the turnout like, and what was it like, or what's it been like to host events like that for you?
Yeah, me and one of my best friends from back home, me being a walk-on, him being almost Mr. Football and being under-recruited, we just feel like our area has been under-recruited and under-appreciated for a really long time. In 2019, we did the 586 Showcase, which is an invite-only camp for people in our area, Macomb County, and we invite college coaches, and it was one-on-one, seven-on-sevens, individual. And we had a good turnout, and then with COVID, things kind of were messed up, and we kind of did a makeshift one last year, and then this year was our first year doing all three camps in one weekend. We had three camps, a youth camp Friday night under the lights. We had about 120 kids, and then on Saturday between 2 and 4:30, we had a 7th through 10th grade, like elite skills camp, to kind of give kids that are going through the college process or to get ready for our showcase we have at the next level, but to just put them in front of, how a camp environment is for kids before they end up in that environment of going to one-day camps and stuff. And then from 6 to 8:30, we had our 5-8-6 showcase, which is 11th and 12th graders. And, you know, we have college coaches out, and, you know, they do some different agility work, jumping, and one-on-one, seven-on-seven. And we ended up with about 83 kids for the 7th and 10th grade camp, 87 for the 11th and 12th grade camp, so about 300 kids and throughout three camps. It was a good turnout. Everything went smooth. I think all the kids had a really good time in all three of the camps, and you know, we're excited to kind of create it next year into a whole entire you know, community weekend with fireworks and bouncy houses and all types of stuff, along with, you know, a weekend full of football from a conference.
Yeah, I'm thinking about attending that myself. I like that. That sounds like a blast, actually, and actually a really good thing to do. So good on you. We have a senior in high school who plays baseball, and he's at a showcase event right now in Arizona. So I think a lot of people listening have kids that are going through the process trying to get to college and know exactly what these opportunities mean. Tyler Conklin is a tight end with the Jets, coming off a career year and getting a great new opportunity now with New York. Tyler, great to have you on. Thank you so much. Let's do it again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Jim.
You got it. Thanks for doing it, Tyler. Appreciate you. Tyler Conklin joining us. All right. So like I said, we've been talking more and more Jets football. That is not a coinkydink. I like their energy. I like the moves they made in the offseason. They're interesting. They're intriguing. So we'll do more of that. Let's see some reaction. Quote, I'm not going to be on the LIV tour. I shouldn't even have to comment on this. I think I've said this over and over and over again. Signed, Brooks Sabin.
I'm not going to play LIV golf.
I shouldn't even have to comment on this. I think I've said this over and over and over again.
Well done, Alvy. Alvy's definitely back. There is something to that. I mean, Brooks Koepka. Look, listen, you know that this is a Brooks Koepka house. I like Brooks. I've always liked Brooks. But he was pretty emphatic not that long ago that that was not something that interested him. Then again, last week when it came up and he got as testy as he did with the media, that was a dead giveaway. You know, either that was, I don't want to get into this because my brother's there already. Or I don't want to get into this because my brother is there already and I've got one foot out the door. I mean, he can get a little surly and a little prickly, but that reaction told you he was already there. Allegedly. However, it was not that long ago that he was saying, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And my thing about that is, we can get into this again, but if you're going to go, go. But don't go and try and make it out to be something it's not. Because we know what it is. It's a cash grab. Fine. A lot of people would do it. But whatever you do, don't go and then say that you're trying to grow the sport. Or don't go and say that you're going because you want to be a force for change. Don't go after saying, oh, there's no way I would do that. And then you go there. Just go. Just go and take the money. Just go and take the money and putt into the clown's mouth so the ball can drop down to the level below and you can see how close you can get to the pin.
Freaking clown.
And take their money. And just be straight about it. Just be straight up about it.
I'm not going to
don't treat us like morons, right?
I shouldn't even have to comment on this.
I think that we understand what's going on here. Less work, less competition, less everything except money. A whole hell of a lot more of that. So take the money and say, I left for the money. I did what a lot of you would do. I left for the money. I'd respect that a hell of a lot more. Let's see here. This says, War Weird Jeff in Southfield handling bitch in Corona, or War Larry singing his Brad in Corona song after another BIC win. Signed, Nate the Great in Boston. Hey, Nate, which is it? You want bitch in Corona to lose?
You remind me of the Dead Milkman song, Bitch in Camaro. Except in your case, it's called Bitch in Corona. Bitch in Corona. Bitch in Corona. I'm going to drive Brad's car. Bum, bum, bum. Bitch in Corona. Bitch in Corona. I'm going to drive a real hard. Bum, bum, bum. Bitch in Corona. Bitch in Corona. I'm going to shift a stick. Bum, bum, bum. Bitch in Corona. Bitch in Corona. I'm going to ride that. Woo! Bitch in Corona. Bitch in Corona. Ba-da-da-bam-ba-da-bum.
How does that not get more run on the show? That is such an amazing moment. Only on this show. Like, where else could that happen? Where else could that happen? Because you would need Brad and Corona. You would need somebody as just kooky as Jeff and Southfield. And you would need somebody like Alvin to pull it all together. A perfect confluence of events. It could only happen here. Bitchin' Corona. Bitchin' Corona. But Nate DeGray. Hey, Nate, I'm going to let that slide, bro. I'm going to let you glossing yourself Nate the Great slide because you didn't do it on the phones and because I'm half chowed. But Nate, there's nothing great about sitting on the fence. Which one is it? You wrote War Weird Jeff and Southfield handling Bitchin' Corona or War Larry singing his Brad and Corona song after another BIC win.
So this one's for
you're
the
talking
new
out both sides of your mouth, Nate.
The smack-up was a lot of fun. Look who won. He came in and he got it done. Brad and Corona. Lady Clones, they both got run. Both got run. Queens and Nika and even South and Corona. Rick and Buffalo. Fuck is that. Some bitch
voted. It's actually one of Larry's better efforts, which isn't saying a lot.
Brad.
I'm going to have to agree with Rick. That is a great tune.
I don't like that color.
I've always loved that song. That song will always rule my Sharona. I mean, the BIC is that good. That, how do you know he's the GOAT? They write parodies about him. Bitchin' Corona, Brad and Corona, and the one to beat. Ryan May, 1010. Quote, they asked Steph what it was like winning the finals MVP. He said it was like running down a dream. My man, Tom Petty, dead, RIP, bro. But he's got a catalog. He's got a catalog now. That's a hit maker. L.A., man, L.A. native, Tom Petty. We could play that game all day long. That guy's got enough songs. I'll tell you what's underrated about Tom Petty song-wise. One of my favorite Petty songs always. I Need to Know. Big I Need to Know fan. All right. Telephone number is toll free. So we are open right now until the last segment of the show when we have Edzo, Eddie Olczyk. So that means you got to get in here. And I've got a lot of smack off material to get to. I've got thoughts on Brooks Koepka. The news broke this morning. He is bouncing for the LIV Golf Tour.
I'm not
1-800.
LIV Golf.
I shouldn't even have to comment on this.
636-8686. Max Homa on Twitter is unbelievable. He had a great tweet that I just saw. I mean, we already know he's a Twitter king, but he is awesome on this whole thing. So the weather is getting warmer. It is lighter later. So you know what that means, right? It is time to take those cigars and drinks outside. I've done so. It is so awesome. Time to soak up the feeling and flavor of cigar season. And when you're getting ready for cigar season, you've got to get the best premium cigars that you can at the lowest prices. And I can tell you how to do that. Go to Famous Smoke Shop. It is stress-free cigar shopping at Famous Smoke because every cigar is guaranteed fresh. Plus, Famous Smoke Shop was recently named the best place to buy cigars online by Cool Material and Cigar World. And with an enormous selection of over 1,000 brands, you will find amazing deals on everyday cigars and highly rated classics such as Romeo, Monte Cristo, Acid, Olivia, and Fuente. And now here is your chance to save $10 off your purchase of $50 or more when you go to famous-smoke.com. Famous-smoke.com. Use the code ROME10 at checkout and save $10 off your purchase of $50 or more. If you want your favorite cigars delivered fast and guaranteed fresh, it's got to be from famous-smoke.com. Great cigar deals only at famous-smoke.com. And remember to use the promo code ROME, R-O-M-E, and the number 10.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Check it out, Dr. Dave, in his scrubs, picking left. Dude, are those actual medically issued scrubs, or did you get that at a Halloween store? Just kidding, Doc. Not really. My man, is there anything more Dr. Dave than shooting the prediction video in his scrubs? Because, of course... Yeah, I know. You're saving sick children. I'm lucky you even predict for you bastards. Leave Dr. Dave alone. My man, I'm just saying, if I had known, I appreciate the engagement, but if somebody had said to me, Dr. Dave, the famous Dr. Dave is going to hit you up with a prediction, I immediately would have said, I guarantee it'll be in scrubs. And sure enough, there they were. Remember, the Smack Off is not only on Friday, but it's going to be sponsored by Famous-Smoke.com, an American-owned, family-owned company delivering you your favorite premium cigars at the lowest prices for over 80 years. That is Famous Smoke. Famous Smoke Shop. They're putting up the money, $5,000 to the winner. They are sponsoring the event, so without them, it may not happen. All right, so really quickly, Smack Off 28 is on Friday. It is invite only. It is the premier event in sports talk radio. So if you have any Smack Off related business, it's almost too late. It's really late, and in fact, almost too late. So if you still have to rip a golden ticket, you better get busy right now. Hey, and by the way, this is really important. Having a golden ticket already does not guarantee you will get on the air Friday. Also, holding a ticket right now does not guarantee that you'll even be holding that ticket by the end of the week, because you can't just sit and coast on a golden ticket. Like I said, we do not respect campers. We do not respect people that never shoot at the pin. We do not respect people who are laying up. We do not respect people who are just trying to keep it in the fairway. It's dangerous. You're playing not to lose.
Right.
Playing not to lose will get that thing snatched the hell back. Because you only sound better than somebody receiving a golden ticket.
I've got a golden ticket.
It's the sound of somebody getting a golden ticket ripped right out of their hands. You tell me, what's a better sound?
I've got a golden
potentially,
ticket.
That's going to happen to a lot of people tomorrow. Because tomorrow is what's known as Golden Ticket D-Day. Tomorrow there could be a golden ticket bloodbath in the jungle. So I'm talking to you, current golden ticket holders. James in Portland. John in New York. Steven in Orlando, a.k.a. the Chicken Man. Danica in Jacksonville. Paul in Buffalo's dog. Drizzle in Wichita. Chris in Southeast Wisco, and Rex in SLO. Again, having a golden ticket does not guarantee that you'll have one tomorrow. And if you want to roll the dice and risk not solidifying that position, that is on you. And if we're being real here, I think that the Rover and the dude in Directional Wisconsin are the only ones who can sleep soundly tonight. The rest of you are going to find out tomorrow whether or not you've done enough to stay in the field. Unless you call today and you remove any doubt, because tomorrow is Golden Ticket D-Day. Those are pretty much the options. It's totally up to you. Just know, if you sit back and you take that ticket for granted, I probably will chopper that thing. And it's going to sound like this. D-Day tomorrow for the Golden Ticket class. And then on top of that, if you're a watch lister, you're an even bigger bleep right now, because including today, you only have three more shows to get off the watch list and into the field. So heads up to Dan in Denver, John in Little Rock, Mark in El Paso, Sean in Wichita, and the very mysterious Scott Nocal. If any of you want in, you need to get in right now. Clock is ticking, fellas. Also, believe it or not, it's not too late to submit a Smack Off prediction video for us to get on the air on CBS Sports Network. All you have to do is make sure that it's suitable to air on CBS Sports Network. In other words, 15 seconds, horizontal, make your prediction, leave out your homemade porn, profanity, vulgarity, violence, drug, alcohol use, send it to smackoffvideos@gmail.com. And you will then be on national television. It's that simple, but you got to get it done right now. In fact, we actually had a very wild submission to smackoffvideos@gmail.com this week. It actually was not a video at all. barely a prediction at all. In fact, I don't really know what the hell it was or what to call it. So I'm just going to let the guy who did it set it up for me. Dino in Vegas set up his submission with the following email. Quote, "Hey, Rome, Chalk, I have not made a smack off or I have not made a video prediction for the smack off. I did, though, rework a song by Jim's favorite band, The Replacements. I barely had to change the words to Here Comes a Regular to make it smack off related. I shortened it to the first two verses and one chorus, and yet it's still 2 minutes. I played all the instruments. Well, the drums were played by my Casio, and I made sure to make it more authentic by being hammered when I sang it. Enjoy, Dino in Vegas." All right, so before I play this, it is my favorite band, arguably The Replacements. Top three anyway. And the song that he's talking about is a famous song off one of their best albums, so I'm very aware of it, very familiar with it. If that does not pique your interest, I've got no idea that would. What would? So let me get out of the way and see what the hell Dino in Vegas came up with from the home studio where he played every instrument himself except for the drums. He let Casio handle that. So here's Dino's Replacements cover, Here Come the Legends. Bag.
Here's the picture of Wells on his fridge stocked with food. I raised to live in the house, now he lives under a bridge. Everyone wants to be special here. From Rome.
Get it, dude. Chorus.
Here comes the legend. We call out your name.
Damn, Dino. You know what I always say? You can keep playing that album. Give him his day. You know what I always say, Dino? Give me an A or give me an F. Which is why I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because when I say that was an F, that was an F. But I love the idea of an F. That's what I always say. Give me an A or give me an F. C minus doesn't do me a damn thing. That's an F, brah. But that said, it's an F, brah. But that said, I love the idea. I love the hustle. I love that you played all the instruments except the drums. I love that you went all in and got hammered for it. I love that hammered energy. My guy Westerberg would also love that hammered energy. It's just that it was, well, unlistenable. And I can't even make out the lyrics, which is understandable because you are hammered. But just for some context, for the clones that don't know The Replacements or don't know the song, I know exactly where he was going with it because it's off one of my favorite albums ever. But for those of you who do not know, this is the way that song is supposed to sound.
Well, a person can work
up. That bleep is nice. That bleep is nice.
After a hard day of nothing much at all.
I will always rep that band, even though Westerberg stabbed me in the back on this show. But we made it right. We're good.
There ain't much
perfect anyway in the fall.
So, Dino, if you want to go back, keep that up, Alvin. I love that. That makes me happy. That puts me in a good headspace. You got to understand about this band, too, though. That's really out of character, that song. That's a flex. That's range. That's not how they sound. That's a beautiful song. That's a famous song. First time I heard that song, I immediately thought, Cheers. Sounds like Cheers, except the theme, except a million times better. Dino, the first thing I would do if I were to make an adjustment to what you did, I would make yours sound like this. Because yours sounds nothing like this. Granted, they were a world-class band when they were sober, and even when they weren't. And probably had access to better things than your Casio. And Westerberg, for as drunk as he may have been at times, was a brilliant frontman and lyricist. I mean, that's nice, right? So, Dino, good job. Good hustle, man. You wrecked one of my favorite songs ever. But I appreciate the energy. This is why I love Smack Off season. I love that F. And, Dino, if it sounds like I'm here to kill you, I'm not. I'm here to praise you. Only in Smack Off season do you get stuff like that. I love people sending random bleep in, like Ricky in Seattle, submitting that homemade SmackDown promo.
Previous SmackDown winners can call on June 24th.
If I had that guy's voice, I would have been in the Hall of Fame probably 15 years earlier. SmackDown, SmackDown, SmackDown.
Smack Off 28.
So what I'm saying is I love it when you guys get creative, even when it ends up cringe as hell. See what I'm saying? Especially when it ends up cringe as hell. I want to know how many Mats fans are listening right now. Like hardcore Mats fans like me. Because there's probably about 50 of you. And only you can really understand what happened right there. Dino even understands because Dino knew enough to know to try that. So Dino knows. Deep down, Dino knows how he butchered that song. But it's all right. It's better than all right. Give me an A or give me an F. If not for my band and the energy, Here Comes the Legend would have been retitled Here Comes the Buzzer. But I just respected it.
I don't like that call.
Hey, Dino, I got something for you. That was not a hard... Look, I'm not saying that was easy, but you got to be honest. That song is not that hard to do if you're you. You want to really flex on me? Go get me some Rise Against. I want to hear something electric from you, bro. Get some Rise Against. Get something really angry. A little political. Love Rise Against still. All right, so if any of you have any bizarre Smack-Off related creations that you've been too scared to send in, hey, get over it. Look what that guy just did. And he lived to talk about it. Now, granted, he was smart enough to do it with my favorite band. But if you have something like that in you, get it in before it's too late. I want to hear them all. The big day is only 3 days off. Hitman Canadian says, my ears! Signed, Yoko. I actually think it's really funny and really horrible because he did take a really famous song by, in parts of the world, a really famous band. Nice job, bro. It actually puts a smile on my face. My ears are bleeding, but it puts a smile on my face. I never found something that could do that. They can both make my ears bleed and make me grin ear to ear. Get it, you drunk. Get it, you drunk. But he's right. Westerberg, I've seen Westerberg when he was blasted. I've seen Westerberg, my guy, forget lyrics to his own songs that he wrote. All right. Ran pretty long. Sorry about that. When we come back. All right, so here are a couple of callers doing exactly what I instructed them to do. Get in here and solidify your spot, or you're going to lose it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. 303 Products has your number with a full line of premium protectants and cleaners. They've got everything you need to keep your car looking new for longer. For more information, go to 303radio.com, 303radio.com. All right, so really quickly, if you're Dino, like Jeff in the 561 writes, I'm a regular listener of at least 25 years, and I am a Mats fan. Dino should be blocked for that crap. If you're Dino, I wonder what you're thinking. Like, Dino, you should be happy about that. Even though I said your song is horrible and I gave you an F. You should be happy about that. Like, I wonder what Dino thinks. Does Dino think to himself, I know this is crap. And I know Rome's going to say it's crap. But I'm going to send it anyway. Or does Dino think to himself, man, I murdered that. I nailed that. I crushed that. I own that. That is good. Like, does he go all Neems with it? Or parody Larry with it? Like, does he actually think he's Paul Westerberg? Or is he in on the joke and does he know that it's crap and that it's an F? And I'm going to say it's an F, but he's going to send it anyway to be a part of the program. I mean, again, the only lyrics I could make out of that was something about Ira Craig being under a bridge and something about Matt in L.A. I just wonder, you tell me, do you think that Dino is sitting back cackling like, man, I crushed that. That is so good. Because if he is, he's wrong. I just wonder what he's thinking. All right, let's go to the phones. I said, this is the time to get off the watch list. This is the time to solidify that golden ticket. Doing nothing will get you hurt. Doing nothing is the unsafe play, right? Let's go to Dan in Denver. He was in the event last year. We have not heard from him since then, so I've got him on the watch list. I said, dude, I need at least something. Something. You've been there before, so I know you've got that game. In horse racing, another analogy, it's back class. Back class. We know what kind of class you have, but you got to run to that back class. I need to see. Dan in Denver. Dan, what's up?
Jimmy, happy smack off week. Hey, I enjoyed chit-chatting with your producer, Tom, when he screened my call a minute ago. And I call him Producer Tom, not because he's your producer and his name's Tom, but because that's literally his Twitter handle, at Producer Tom. Yeah, man, I just told him I was caller Dan, and I wanted to talk some bleep on Virgin Caleb, Fatass Jeff, and unemployed actor Mark. And I guess we just clicked because we're talking now. Jimmy, I am alarmed by his lack of social media presence. Jimmy, I don't think you should be so active on there that affects his job performance. No names mentioned, Adam Hawk. But, Jimmy, it's definitely alarming that he only has 2,000 Twitter followers, especially considering 1,800 of those are Mike and Indy burner accounts and Brad and Corona uncirced crank parody accounts. Jimmy, I can tell he's from Jersey from that haircut. That hair's so greasy and unhealthy, Ritz stomach growls when he walks into the room. With that greasy, slimy look, he looks less like a member of your XR4TI and more like someone who would try and sell me an XR4TI. And, Jimmy, I like that Benny and Wisco had 3 hours on Friday night to sit on Woodscopes and prank call Najee Davenport. Don't run me, Jim. That actually happened. But he doesn't have 3 minutes to call the jungle. What's next? Is a smack-off champ going to live tweet the event instead of calling in? Mike and Indy. Jimmy, I missed the early days of the smack-off where guys would just call the show 2 weeks out and just relentlessly beat the holy hell out of each other. Now they just go on Woodscopes and play grab ass and prank call jungle celebrities. So, Jimmy, I don't really care if you put me in on Friday. I think I make the show better. If you think I make the show better, great. I'll be there. But here's what I want. I want Jeremy in Green Bay, Matt in Vancouver, Tyler in Edmonton, Jeff in Southfield, Benny in Wisco, Mark in Boston, Rick in Buffalo. Somebody call in and take your shot at me because I'm looking to fire back. But listen, guys, after I hang up the phone on Friday, I stop being a caller, and I go back to being a listener. And please don't make me listen to Gino in San Antonio, Silk Bra, or that stupid dog in Buffalo and his stupid jokes. That's all I got, Jim. I'm out.
My man, Dan, I will see you on Friday. Off the watch list, back into the field. And you know why? He does make it better. He's right. You're exactly right. You make it better. Well done. That's how you do it. Well done. Dan in Denver off of the watch list, and he jumps over the golden ticket because he was in the field last year. That's back class. He ran to his previous best race or close to it. All right, do we have time or do we wait on this? I'm going to wait. I've got somebody else who is holding a golden ticket and wants to make sure that he is still holding that golden ticket come Friday. Drizzle in Wichita is on hold. Driz, hang in there. I will definitely take your telephone call. I also want to shout out to some of the OGs, and we will do that next hour. But trying to get to a player profile, Vic. I mean, the guy does deserve it. He has won the event. Haven't gotten there yet, so I may still get there. Eddie Olczyk will join me at 11:40 Pacific time, or the last segment of the program. He is a Turner Sports hockey analyst. Let's see what else we got here. At 512 Lumber, Bloodsport is a movie that is so bad that it's good. That song by Dino is the Bloodsport of songs. Well done, Dino. The thing is, if you don't know the song, it just sounds like crap. But if you know the band and you know that song, it sounds so much worse than crap. You don't appreciate how bad it is unless you know the band and you know the song. That's why I specifically shouted out to Mats. Mats are a nickname for the replacements. To Mats fans. Because they're a different breed. We're all kind of connected. If you know that band, you love that band, you go back with that band, there is a common thread. We are connected. So if you know that band and you heard that song, you're going to hear it very differently. Like I said, it's the one song that made my ears bleed and put a smile on my face. Because it was so horrible. All right, next hour. Somebody trying to get and hold on to that golden ticket. I've got another RSVP and a shout out.